Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to another exciting show right here in Block Talk Radio /Guasabara 1491. And this is www.tainoradio.com. And check this out. Thank you once again for downloading the show. Or if you are live, you are welcome to call in when I open up the lines. And the phone number for the guests will be 515-605-9836. That's 515-605-9836. Later on, I'm going to open up those lines for any questions. And you know, last night we had a good show on 12/30/2022. We went live on Zoom and Zoom Radio, or Taino Radio on Zoom, is every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Been throwing down some Taino history, some teachings and stuff, and I think it's great when people can ask questions. We went live last night on Black Talk Radio as well, just to give people a little glimpse of what goes down. Some people are shy, but that's all right. They go right in the chat, and I'll answer those questions. So Taino Radio, the new year coming up in the Gregorian calendar. In March, we're going to have the Taino New Year, so that's coming. That's coming. Got two New Years. One is the Gregorian calendar, and in March, the spring, we're going to have, bam, the Taino. And we're going to throw a party out here, Block Talk Radio, Taino Radio, going to be a big party. So tune in for that. We're going to have some guests. We're going to have some band of Tainos are going to be showing up. We're going to have some great entertainment. It's going to be a great show. We're going to go for 2 hours, and then that's the spring. Taino or Indigenous Caribbean New Year, and it's going to be smacking cool. Well, today our topic is going to be how to choose a Behike or a spiritual leader, teacher. I've been getting a lot of emails from people, and you can always send your comments, Taino Radio at 1491 at gmail.com. Don't be shy, call in. I'm sorry, don't be shy and email me any questions. There's some emails I'm still sorting through, and I'm trying to get some your points addressed so I can introduce it in the future shows. And a lot of great people have been writing in, and some of you, I got to get back to you, and I will, to answer your questions and to fit you in our program in the future, because a lot of you want to share your stories. And that's amazing, from the different islands. We've got to keep the momentum. This is for the future generation, hopefully the seventh generation, great-great-great-great-grandchildren, or, I'm sorry, not great, future great-great-great-grandchildren can tune into Taino Radio, and they can learn as well. So we're teaching the future right here. They're the future listeners that download the show. So one of the emails, well, many of the emails that I receive, it's about spiritual teachings, and a lot of people are interested in becoming a Bahikis. So today I'm going to take a moment in this end of the Gregorian calendar, December 31st, as we continue on these transitions, and since we do live in a society, I can speak for myself here in America, United States of America, we follow the Gregorian calendar. So we kind of live two worlds, okay? We live different realities or worldviews. So in this worldview, you know, this new year coming up, a lot of people speak about new year resolutions. So maybe I want to help some of you out there who really are feeling called to spiritual leadership. So I just want to say it's very, very important in any profession, in any discipline. You can go to the east, you can go to the west, the north and south, and every culture has some form of formation where you have a teacher or you have a committee assigned of teachers or some kind of formation program in which a student is chosen, okay? And then through time of education, rituals, rite of passage, you will become a leader. And this is very, very important to understand that you just can't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm a Bahike, okay? In the indigenous traditions, many of the cultures that are still active right now in the world, many of them on the front lines, there's always that initiation process between teacher and student. And you find this in the East as well, like in the Asian community, African communities, all over, in which there's that teacher-student relationship. And then one day that student will become the teacher. And I know as a Tai Chi practitioner, my teacher always shares his lineage, his history, and he passes down what he learned to us, the students. And I will always be his student. It's Robert Maloney, if you're listening, will always be a student. And sometimes the student will not be with the teacher, but the teachings are still operative, okay? When you practice your form, when you practice your style, very important to always honor your teacher and to be either physically or in, you know, sending good vibrations, good positive energy to your teacher. Very, very important. In the indigenous tradition as well, there's always that relationship. One of the greatest teachers of all time, I would say, in the 20th century, actually 19th, 20th century, Grandpa Frank Foolscroll of the Lakota Nation, born and raised in Rosebud, was part of the Indian, American Indian movement as a spiritual father, cured every disease possible. And he had many, many apprentices and students. Many of them have become great medicine people. So many of them were persecuted actually by the government. For example, Douglas White. But here's the thing. There's always that relationship, okay, the passing down of the traditions. Now, what makes it difficult for in the Taino community or indigenous Caribbean community is that this lineage, okay, that dates back, I will say maybe 7,000 years, we know what the reason is. It's called the invasions. It was damaged. I won't say it was destroyed, but it was damaged heavily. There's still people in the islands that still practice ancient traditions that were known to be of the Bahike. For example, bone setting and massage therapy in the Taino way still exists to this day, and I bet people who do this. Also, we have, hold on a second, the plant medicine. Plant medicine still exists, super strong in the islands. And there's places where there's still extreme poverty in the islands. And what happens, they resort to plant medicine, which is amazing. It still exists. So the invasion of 1492 did not wipe out. I repeat, it did not wipe out. It did not exterminate the tradition of the Bahike or the Bohike, okay? It was not exterminated. It was heavily damaged. but I want to go on record that it was not destroyed. My great-grandmother, who practiced many rituals, did honor those Indian spirits. She used tobacco, she used water, and she fed those that she asked for assistance. And many times I witnessed as a child her being angry when things didn't go her way in a ritual. Again, if you listen to prior broadcasts, I mentioned about the four sacred medicines. It's right in the creation stories of our people, of our ancestors. And one of those medicines is the human medicine. We are medicine. One of the four. There's the mineral people, there's the tree people, animal people, or relatives, and then there's us, humanity, humans. And we're very complicated. Like anything in this world, we're complicated. And this is why, as human beings, we need a teacher. We need these teachers to be passed down. Fortunately for us, as modern Taino, indigenous Caribbean folk, we can look at some of the writings that was left behind by the invaders. Now, many of these writings are definitely biased against our ancestors. And how do you choose a Bahiga spiritual leader or teacher? Many ways. You look at their lineage. Do they have lineage from the Caribbean? That's point number one. Okay, so I know there's a lot of people who practice plant medicine, massage, bone setting, and they get this teachings from their grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. My love for ritual and for ceremony comes from my great-grandmother, who always had her altars, always will honor them. I remember going with her to the botani, got to get the candles and to get the plants, to get certain mixtures to feed her altar, to feed her helpers. Very important. This is my, so those are seeds that were planted in me. And when she died, I was 11 years old. But I learned so much, and I was able to learn from her just by watching and asking questions and so on. Those seeds were planted. So, but there are still many people that still teach these ways, and they're very guarded as well. Normally, it's only passed down to family, what I found out in my research, and that's a good thing because you don't want people to take advantage of these practices, but can't really control it. This has seeped to other folks who are not Taino, Caribbean, and they charge a lot of money, and it kind of saddens me about that. So I just want to give a little brief introduction of what I feel through my experience, my learning from different elders who have taught me. My lineage is from my great-grandmother, as I said, who taught me the power of ritual. And also my spiritual teacher of the Crow Nation, Irving Sins Good Stewart. My lineage is of this Crow tradition of the Sweat Lodge, what a lot of people in present time, Taino, sometimes we refer to it as the Guanada ceremony. Inspired by the Guanada, which is part of our creation stories of Guabonito. But when I do that ceremony, specifically mentioned it's Crow, I'm allowed to pour the water and the rituals in that sweat lodge. So it's something that was given to me by Irving Sinska Stewart back in 97 when I taught him about the plight of the Taino. What happened in 1492, what happened in the 1500s, how our ceremonies was practically exterminated, but not quite. I always like using the word damaged. But, you know, when something is damaged, you can always restore it, okay, or fix it. So Irvin told me, well, I'm going to teach you tonight so you can bring it to your people. And right now there is a sweat lodge in Sidra, Puerto Rico, Borinquen. Juan Gonzalez is the gave him that lineage. So he does sweat lodges there on his land in El Cerro del Bojique. I'll be going there soon. Do some ceremonies there. So it's very, very important to understand that lineage just doesn't have to necessarily have to come from a Bojique that has lineage from 1492. It can come from an indigenous elder or teacher. And this is something across the board a lot of indigenous people practice to this day. When you lose something, when you lose a tradition, a spiritual tradition, it's fitting that you go to another nation, indigenous nation, and if they bless you with their tradition, then it's all right. You know, it's all right. It's perfect. It's part of our tradition. You know, when the Crow Nation, when they lost their Sundance tradition, when they were when their medicine people in the 70s were able to restore it, they didn't go to the books, they didn't go to the archives, they went to the Shoshone, and they practiced. They were gifted the Sundance, the Shoshone Sundance. Whenever you see a Crow Nation member or tribe doing a Sundance, it's a Shoshone Sundance. So it's perfectly traditional to do that, okay? Now, a lot of Taino will not agree with me. A lot of Bahigas out there, Caciques, will not agree with me. But at the end of the day, we are indigenous, okay? And we're all different. But when an indigenous nation, an elder or medicine person gifts you the gift, when they, you know, you're not asking, you're not paying. When they give you a ceremony, you accept it, and you celebrate it. You practice it. I did not ask Irving to teach me, but I share our stories about what happened to our Bahiques, what happened to our Cacique, what happened to our culture. And he says, as of today, I'm going to teach you so you can bring it to your people. That's lineage right there. Okay? So I'm going to share with you some things, again, that I learned. And one is, anyone is seriously interested in being a leader, spiritual leader, in the Taino community, the first thing you must do, you must be connected with some kind of community. Now, there's many Yucayeques out there in the United States, diaspora, also in the Caribbean. Excuse me. And what happens is, it's very, very important you connect. And now that we have the virtual world, it's a lot easier to connect with different Yucayeques, we call them villages. And many of these Yucayeques, for example, like Arayeque Yucayec, Sovereign Nation, is Hiwayagua. And, you know, each Yucayeque has a unique style or personality that people are attracted to. So it could be language, it could be social action, it could be medicine. But it's up to you what makes you feel comfortable and what community supports you. So in the future, I would like to invite guests from different Yucayeques to share their charism, share their gifts to the community. So specifically, I'm going to talk about the Bahique, spiritual leader. It's very, very important. If you're not connected to a community, search for one. Okay, you can write me at Taino Radio 1491. @gmail.com. I've made a lot of referrals through the years. Well, here's another point. You have to avoid a teacher or a Bahique teacher who is loud proclaiming to the world that he or she is a Bahique. So it's very important to avoid certain teachers who like to boast. Okay? Sometimes, not always, sometimes when you go into a Taino gathering, sometimes you don't even know who the Bahique is. But that's a good thing because he talks about the tradition, about humility. Also, another point is avoid battles and arguments. Avoid these teachers who love to battle, who love to argue, to prove to you or to others that they're Bahique. It's not a matter of proving or arguing. It's just living the lifestyle. another point is you need to expect compassionate Vehika teachings, okay, from this Vehika or teacher. You have to feel there is a friendly and there's a comfortable atmosphere, okay? If you feel that pressure that you have to perform a certain way, you just don't feel comfortable, then you have to be careful, okay, with those certain leaders or teachers. So you have to expect, it's expected that you're going to feel compassion coming from the Vehika and also the teachings, okay? Also, avoid teachers who offer teachings like a Chinese restaurant menu. So what happens, if you see a teacher, and this happens, I'm not just talking about Taino, but also generally, you know, you have certain teachers says, oh, yeah, I'll teach you how to do A, B, and C, and then there's another one I can teach you how to do A, B, and C plus D, E, X, and they have all this list. So be careful with that. Also, the Vehika has to be a reflection of the Taino culture, okay? So what does that mean, Taino culture? No, they have to be involved. You know, they have to be true examples, citizens, outstanding citizens in the community. Also, if a teacher charges for you, if a teacher of Vehika charges money for his teachings, for his time, I just want you to know that spirituality is free of charge, okay? It comes from the ultimate reality, the creator, creatress, and it was always, always received for free of charge. I'm going to talk about that a little later. Now, if the Vehika or the teacher is too occupied or worried about his or her status in front of you and others, and reminds you of their status constantly, it might be time to find a new teacher. So for the Vehika, it's not about status, okay? And this worry personality that they always want to be respected in a very loud way. Be careful. Now, I have a super quote from Lao Tzu, Taoist teachings. One who brags about himself or herself gets no credit. One who praises himself or herself does not long endure. These things do not bring happiness. There are followers, therefore followers of the way, avoid them. So you have to avoid that which doesn't bring true happiness. Praising and bragging just does not work. Okay? Here's another point. A Vehika never brags about his or her lineage to others. So education is one thing, but because you have to clarify, have to be very important. You have to teach others that this is serious, and I just didn't make this up. But you can't brag, you know. Sometimes this occurs. And not just in the Taino community, but different traditions. A true student will always honor their teacher. So, again, if you want to be a student, an apprentice, you need to honor your teacher. It's a relationship. It's a family relationship. Also, a true Vehika does not show off their ceremonies to impress their students or their apprentices and the public. So it's very important that when you do these ceremonies, many of these ceremonies are private, and some of them are also public. But remember, the key point of any ceremony, especially public ceremonies, is that you're unifying people. You're not highlighting yourself. In a social gathering, the people find it very difficult to point out who is the Vehika. So really good Vehika is someone that it's hard to, and I said this before, it's hard to figure out who they are because of their humility. So humility is part of the job description. Also, Vehika does not charge a fee, but the student always pays at the door. And this is an old, most indigenous cultures have this where, you know, the teacher does not charge a fee, but you pay at the door. In other words, when you show up as an, want to be a teacher, I mean, you want to be a student or apprentice, you just don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I want to be a reike, I want to learn this. It should be a reflection of your life, of your lifestyle, who you are as a human being. Because a true reike is a human being. Remember, we are the medicine. So when you come to your community and you ask, or ideally, a reike will come to you, or a cacique will come to you, or a tequina, a teacher, says, hey, you know, I think you should be working with the reike because you have these gifts. You know, the community is the one that says it. Okay, you recognize it. Oh, yeah, this person is a great carpenter, you know, because they know how to build things. Or, you know, everyone has a role in the community, ideally, traditionally. So if you have that spirituality in you where you're humble and you're compassionate and, you know, you can bring people together, then, hey, that's going to be confirmed by the community. So I just wanted to share those points with you, and you can argue with me if you want. It's all right, man. Argument is not negative. Now, if you want to add some things that maybe you learned, hey, let me know at TainoRadio1491@gmail.com. If you're listening live, you can hit me up right now at 515-605-9836. I want to go into to history now. Historical context. A lot of people do not like to read the sources that was written by the invaders, okay, because it gets them very angry. But it's very, very important to stay in there, you know, stay with the anger. Remember, as human beings, we're physical, we're mental, spiritual, and emotional, okay? This is what makes, these are our four medicines within the medicine, okay? That's human beings. So you got to hang in there. We have these beautiful organs in our body, especially the brain, that helps us develop, helps us to achieve happiness in the world. So hang in there, okay? And there's one figure that a lot of people have written about. The Catholic Church even calls him the defender of the Indians. And that's Fray Bartolomé de las Casas. He was a friar and a priest of the Dominican Order, which is the Order of Saint Dominic in the High Middle Ages. He was a young man when he went first to Cuba with his father, and he personally had Native American or Taino slaves, and then he had a profound experience. Experiencing those original priests of the Order of St. Dominic that went to, as they call it, the New World, in our islands, the Caribbean, to teach the Word of God. Hold on a second. Just gonna. So he witnessed a lot of these barbaric acts, and he became a priest himself, and eventually that conversion that he experienced from just being a regular colonizer to someone who wanted to help against the atrocities against our ancestors, he became what we call a defender of the Indians in the Catholic language. But he was a man of his time as well. He was Roman Catholic. He was a devout Catholic. He was a priest. He was a leader. And he criticized a lot of our practices, our spiritual practices, when you read it. So sometimes you say, damn, he was a defender of us. But check this out. I'm going to read some excerpts, give you a little idea of how he saw the Behike, okay? And now this excerpt is based directly from a manuscript that was preserved at the Royal Academy of History in Madrid. It's part of the Munoz collection, A-73. Hold on a second. And this is from Apole. Jetica, Historia de las Indias. And start it right here. Oh, man. Hold on a second. This is chapter 120 concerning the idols worshipped by the Indians of the island of Hispaniola. Hispaniola, as we know, is Quisqueya / Haiti. Haiti was the traditional name for what we call Dominican Republic. Since I already discussed very thoroughly the gods of the ancient Gentiles of so many centuries past, whereby their very gross blindness and deception have been well demonstrated, it is now time henceforward to consider the gods of these Indian peoples. Okay? So right there is a little biasness there, referring to us as blind and deceptive. Okay? So that's the backdrop, okay? Just want to give you a little glimpse of that. Now I'm going to skip to the theology, or... Well, you know what? Let me add this. Let me add this right here. They have no temples in many places. And those that were of, and those they had were of little merit, because they were no more than straw houses, like the other ordinary houses, set somewhat apart. They had but a few idols, and these were not meant to be worshipped because they were gods, but rather because of the fantasies that certain priests invested in them. So right here we have a little glimpse of the Behike rule. He calls them priests, and he said invested in them, and the devil invested in the priests. So right now he's making connection between the role of the Behike, what the Behike invested in these, so we call semis, and now he's referring that it was intervened by the devil to the effect that they could do them some good, like to give them children and send them water and other such useful things. They held only infrequent visible or audible ceremonies, and those were practiced by those priests who, deceived and appointed by the devil as his ministers, practiced them with certain cunning pretenses, and their religion seems primarily to have abided in the idea or respect of a god, and there they hailed their worship, although some errors intruded because they lacked doctrine and grace, and the devil and his ministers put obstacles before them. So, that's pretty loaded. That's very loaded. But this is great insight. It seems like the Behike had this key role publicly to honor these semis. And it's funny how you mentioned infrequent visible or audible ceremonies. So I guess it wasn't like the Catholic Church. They always had Sunday Mass, or they always had Mass every day. But it seems like our ancestors practiced, during times of drought or when people needed children or useful things, as mentioned. Now, this is where this is kind of cool in the writings. He says the people of this island, Hispaniola, had a certain faith and knowledge for a one and true God who was immortal and invisible, but none can see him, who had no beginning, whose dwelling place and residence is in heaven. And they call him Yokahu Lagua Manakoti. Now, I just want to pause there. This is great insight. He mentions how we had a one and true God, was invisible. So a lot of this language is like church language, and this is, coming from a priest. Excellent insights that we did believe in this one God. But check this out. I do not know what they meant by his name. So he really didn't break down these the names, which in future shows we're going to talk about that. But because when I could indeed have found out, I did not think to inquire. So he really wasn't much into the the meanings behind these words or these deities, whatever he called them, because he was into conversions. He wanted to teach them the Catholic faith. Now, this is where we're going to get to the spirituality of our ancestors. So we know this. And I know a lot of Tainos out there, they always refer to God as Yokahu. But check this out. Into his true and Catholic knowledge of the true God, these errors intruded, to wit, that God had a mother whose name was Atabesh. So right here, in the spelling, he refers to her as Atabesh, the mother of Yokahu. Also, he says that Yokahu had a brother, Guaca, G-U-A-C-A, and other relatives in like fashion. So this is powerful stuff. So we have Yokahu Baguamanakoti. He had a mom and he had a brother. Now, I don't know about you, but if Yokahu's a supreme being and he had no beginning, but he had a mother. So see, we're getting into a lot of the theology that I'm going to break down in future shows. Now, let me just going to go more down into the role of the Behiket. Hold on a second. I just lost my place. Oh, this is so much stuff. So much stuff. Okay. Indeed, these priests who were called Behiques, now he spells it as B-E-H-I-Q-U-E-S, in the language of these islands, and who were their theologians, prophets. Now check this out. Theologians means a person who studies God. So right now he's referring them as theologians and prophets. Prophets, I guess, will mean the use of the Jehovah ceremony, where they get these visions and they can predict the future. And he also said that they practiced deceptions upon these people, primarily when they acted as physicians. Okay, there's another title there, physicians, healers, in accordance with what the devil from the domain allowed to him, dictated to them what they were say or do. Again, he's referring to their practices as physician, theologians, prophets, as deceptive, coming from the devil. They let the people believe they spoke with those statues representing to the Semis, and that the statues revealed their secrets to them, secrets referring to the visions and communication after the Jehovah. And they find out from these secrets everything they want to know. And it must have been so, because the devil surely spoke in those statues. So right there, they're giving the sole responsibility to the devil. The statues, or we call the Semis, however, were neither very many nor very serious, as we shall see if we put aside all the business with which the devil surrounded them, so as to lead the people at best he could to the superstition branches and circumstances of idolatry, which is what he is always up to, the evil and large deception. So it's interesting that within the tradition of the Taino, but de la Casa sees the Behique as theologians and prophets, all related to the devil. He talks about these statues as a communication between the Behique and the Semi. Okay? Now, take away the devil, you're talking about connecting with the numinous, with the sacred. Okay? This was the role of the Behique. So then he goes on to talk about the different rituals as a physician, and one that consumes the Jehovah, okay? So he says that the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the Behiques, all the priests made of these statues before they were asked them that they wanted to know, he will explain further. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to, in the future shows, I'm going to, because I've been getting a lot of emails about who's the, you know, supreme God. Who is Yokahu? Who is that? You know, people are really in search of spirituality. So on TainoRadio.com, I am Obehike, okay, even though I refer to myself as DJ, but I am Obehike in the Arayeke Yukayek community, based in the diaspora. We have members in Borinquen, and also in Quisqueya. So here's the thing. I'm going to give some general teachings in future shows, because I just been getting a lot of emails on this, and I think it's important in Taino Radio to share the information. Now, I can't go too much in depth, because the bottom line of any spirituality is practice. Okay, it's practice. That's where the true medicine comes in, is that we have to practice our teachings, okay? So you can know everything about Chronicles, about De La Casas, you know, and so on. But it's very, very important to understand it's all about the practice and the relationship between the teacher, the student, and the community. Okay? We do everything for the – this is what tribal living is all about, is living – and it could be even distance, but working together as a community, okay? Because one of the medicines is humanity. And this is why we call animals relatives. This is why we look at stones, the mineral people, as sacred. And we take the minerals and we form them into, like, Yokahu, the three-pointer semi. On our ancestors, you know, they saw life in all things. And then you also have the tree people. Without trees, we will be dead. So all of these are relatives. These are medicines. Without them, we won't exist. So you got the minerals. Our body contains 100 minerals. Same thing that's contained in the ocean. And you need these minerals to live, to not blood. So it's very important. I'll teach you right now, as Behike, is we have to honor those four sacred medicines. Mineral, and that's the representative of Makokael. And then we have the tree people, okay? And in our creation story, we talk about how certain people turn into hobo. You know, hobo trees. Again, our relationship, humanity, and these relatives, right? Plant medicine. Also, animal, Yahu Babael, turn into a bird. So it's very important to understand that those are our relatives as well. And then, of course, the fourth medicine, our medicine, is the human medicine. But as you can tell in the creation stories, we all come, or we shapeshift, or we transform. You know, so we're all one. It talks about that oneness in the many. So, wow, so much stuff going down. Please tune in to our Zoom sessions on Fridays, where I'll be breaking it down a little more. And hold on a second. Let me just real fast. If you're gonna go into the Zoom meetings, you can write this down: 586-833-9392. Meeting ID is 586-833-9392. And the passcode is Taino. This capital T. The other letters are small case. So Taino 1491. Taino 1491 altogether. And that's your passcode. Come check us out on Zoom on Fridays, 9 p.m. I'll be breaking this down a little further on the spirituality. And if one day you want to be a if you feel called to be a Behike, it's very important to connect with a community, because you are a servant to the community, okay? So it's very important. You need to search for community. You need to be part of, because being indigenous, tribal, is – You're not alone. Have family. But before you get into a Yukayeke, remember, your family is the original Yukayeke, the original village. So start with your family. Okay? Always important. So, wow, man. This is a great morning. Thank you all. This is December 31st, 2022, Gregorian calendar. I'd like to thank all you listeners out there in Taino Radio World. Thank you for tuning in to the different shows on Spotify as well. You can look us up on Spotify and Anchor FM, TainoRadio.com. And, wow, it was a great year. I'd like to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. This is our Taino Radio tribe. Please tune in always. If you have any questions, TainoRadio1491@gmail.com. I'm going to play you one more song. What do you think? For the new year, let you guys go with this song. It's called the Taino Calling Song. It's the long version. Blessings to you all.
Taino Calling Song, Calling of the 12 Semis. atave sui mako atave atave sui mako atave atave atave